Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, and Rochester, Syracuse, Greater Albany, Utica, Watertown, a few other places, Boston, Massachusetts now, and also out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage professionals to consult with you to find the lowest rate and closing cost for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. Ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's competitive market, that's extremely important. Listings move quickly today, and you want to be prepared for your opportunity to buy the house you want. And the best way to do that is to know that the mortgage that you're seeking is committed, not just pre-approved or qualified, as most of the lenders talk about today. We're the only ones who will give you a written commitment to borrow that money. No cost, no risk, only through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And check out our low rate guarantee. Certain restrictions do apply, and details are on our website, HuntMortgage.com. Excuse me. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale all through upstate and way out to Phoenix, Arizona. All you have to do is dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about. That's all you need to know, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. With the spring market upon us, soon to be summer market, there is a shortage of homes available, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to encourage you to, if you're interested, to start to act as soon as possible. And the interesting thing is, if you're considering selling your house and you're looking for something, I guess, that might be more suited to your lifestyle today, it's very interesting because you may have more equity, you may have a better price than even you have in mind right now, given the speed of the market. Our sale price is up more than it's ever been in any single year since I can remember, which is a very, very interesting phenomenon. If you look across the board, I wouldn't say prices are up generally that much, but in the markets we serve, our average sale price has gone up considerably this year, more so, as I said, than any other time that I can remember in our company's history. I encourage you to act now. You may have more than you think. So call today at 633-9400 and speak to one of our professionals and see if we can't help you determine what the value of your home is. And before you even do that, you can go to HuntRealEstate.com. There's not just one, but three algorithms there that will help you to determine what's going on in your market and also in the market area where you live and also the value of your particular home. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. And we are live today, WBN 9:30 a.m. And if you'd like to participate in today's show, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or *930. Those are all free calls. And it's ask us about anything relative to real estate. And to help us with that discussion today, I have one of the leading experts in the field today, the real estate market, from a, perhaps not just one, but a couple different angles. And that's Sarah Kleiber, a business development manager with Hunt Real Estate Corporation. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Peter. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you here. On the front page, I'm going to start with something a little bit different than maybe you had thought I was going to be talking about today. But on the front page of the Buffalo News this morning, there's an article that says a time bomb called automation is about to blow up millions of jobs. Your job is to attract and help select the next generation of real estate professionals. Have you studied issues like automated intelligence, robotics, machine learning, is how they might impact your job and really the job of being a real estate professional, or any job for that matter? Have you thought about that?
I have, and we certainly have seen technology make a lot of processes easier, job searches, for example. And although it is a great benefit, in many ways, real estate, in my opinion, will always still be a very personal business. There still will be the need to base to build these trust-based relationships. You're talking about somebody's largest asset, after all, and you can be the best negotiator, the best closer, the most up-to-date in technology individual, but these individuals need to trust you when we're dealing with something so large and important. And in my opinion, there will always be the need for the face-to-face, the voice-to-voice relationship and opportunities. So although technology may initially have somebody be introduced to me, this career in this company, quicker mm-hmm. and easier, these individuals need to be prepared for this the relationship building process, the in-person one.
Let me touch on three things that I think perhaps make the process of buying a home, as you say, a very personal thing. And because of that, perhaps require a one-to-one relationship, a professional with a professional, much as you would with a doctor or a lawyer or anyone that you need to take into confidence for whatever particular reason or trouble that you may be facing. There's the nature of the product itself. Real estate, there are no two pieces of real estate that are exactly alike. Mm-hmm. Everyone is unique. And because of that, if you go under contract to buy a house or even sell a house, you cannot be required to accept a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, well, you know, I'll build you one just like that right next door. You cannot be required to accept that. Whereas if I go into a store and I buy something, one of the conditions of the purchase, my purchase, buying a pair of shoes or something, there may be a return policy that says that you must accept a substitute. And that's perfectly okay. But we cannot do that in real estate. So there's a unique nature of our product.
Correct.
The second element that I think is critical in this personal nature of our business is the issue of negotiation. But before you respond to that, think about this. We ourselves inside the industry have compromised that by virtue of the fact that if I'm buying a piece of real estate and I sign a buyer agency agreement, which I'm required to do, or the agent is at least required to advise me of, I can choose not to, but if I choose to, that what's not stated often, or rarely I should say, is that that agent working for me may not actually be negotiating my offer. I might say, gee, I'd like to offer X number of dollars for the property. The agent prepares the paperwork, and then what happens? It's sent over to the listing agent digitally, technology
yep.
again,
yep.
and that seller will not have the benefit of my agent's knowledge of me as the buyer and what I want to do relative to the purchase of that property. Just comment on that a little bit, because I think technology has effectively dumbed down our business a little bit.
Correct.
Where it could have been yep. a great advantage.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and I agree that the buyer does have the right to know that this is so important to them. In some cases, it's been months to find this dream house. And in some cases,
they've been involved in other competitive offer situations where there's two or three offers on a particular house, and they lose, and they can't even find out why.
In some cases, they began the qualifying process years ago and worked on making some personal improvements to finally get to this point to live this dream. So to hand off a contract digitally and not have to completely surrender the control, and I'm not talking about the love letter. That's a different topic today that has changed with fair housing, but just at least the opportunity to sit and make eye contact. How rare is eye contact today on this digital topic that you just introduced?
And I think that's critical. And not only that, if a customer, a buyer of a home, someone who wants to buy a home, I should say, is working for months or perhaps years, as you say, with an agent, a singular seller will have no knowledge of that mm-hmm. unless that agent representing that buyer is there to describe the condition under which that buyer has come to the point where they are now wanting to purchase that particular seller's home.
There are very important things that are not in the love letter. Their strength, the pre-purchase commitment, describing the steps that the buyer has taken to that, their ability to close quickly, and perhaps these things can be well explained by the professional. We've been trained to do this, so take advantage and demand the opportunity to do so on behalf of your buyer. They expect you to.
And I think that's the key point. The buyer should demand that their agent present the offer face-to-face, or at least over the phone, so that there's a connection directly between that buyer and the seller through the agent. That's what the agent is for, in mm-hmm. in my opinion. You touch on this love letter thing, and I'm sure our listeners don't have any idea what you're talking about, most of them, but what's happened in our business, which is kind of an interesting phenomenon, buyers, when they're in a competitive situation, want to create as much advantage as they can to win the deal. One mm-hmm. way is through price, the other way is through terms, and the third way is through appealing to the emotions of the seller.
Yes.
Now, as an agent, I can describe a buyer in terms of their ability to buy that home, perhaps something about the process they've been through. But I can't talk about, I really shouldn't be talking about specifics of their family or their education or any other thing that might be an example of discrimination or encourage that seller to discriminate one buyer against another on non-material terms.
That's correct.
And that's what we are obligated by law not to do, so that we don't interrupt that. But buyers take it upon themselves sometimes to say, well, gee, that seller needs to know more about me, so I'm going to tell them how much I love their house, how much my kids will love it, etc., which can cause a seller to make a decision that has been proven to be maybe discriminatory for the wrong reasons.
Correct.
So just explain what's going on a little bit and from your perspective in terms of that whole issue.
What's going on right now is that we simply cannot do that. We cannot explain things like family. It's close to this church that we belong to. Once again, family is a real big one, but we cannot explain the makeup and demographics of that in what is called love letters. Dear Mr. Seller, we love your home. My children go to this school. Beyond even the love letter, what happens oftentimes is the seller will instruct their agent to ask, well, okay, I understand you have an offer. Can you tell me about this family? What if it's not a family?
Mm-hmm.
So what's scary is even the word family.
Right.
It can sometimes be something that you really have to tiptoe towards saying. Excuse me.
So anyway, I was speaking this week with a gentleman who happens to be the CEO of the largest real estate organization in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having a long conversation about various topics, and including his own purchase of an apartment recently in a major metropolitan area. And so we got talking on the topic of love letters. And I said, you realize that this is going on within many of the companies affiliated with your organization. He said, yeah, I know about it. As a matter of fact, I just bought an apartment, and I sent the seller flowers, and he was and we won.
Not a letter.
I said, I hope your agent didn't know about that.
Right.
Because that would have been a little bit wrong. But
yeah.
but the long story short here is that it's a seller's right to know that a purchaser can afford the home.
Yep.
To have it proven to him or her that the buyer can afford it. That's about it.
Yes.
That's about it. And other than that, we can't really go into much more detail. We can't give any hints about this, that, or the other thing that might cause that seller to choose one buyer over another for the wrong reasons. There are right reasons, mm-hmm. but there certainly are wrong ones as well. But let's move on.
If you're questioning it, just don't do it.
Exactly right. But let's move on. So let's assume that real estate, the need or the presence of an agent is essential from a number of standpoints. One is the negotiating position, as we just talked about. Secondly, the unique nature of the product itself, real estate itself, that every product is different and unique, and because of that, it requires a very specific, process of analysis and then preparation for sale, et cetera, which an agent should be uniquely qualified to perform. The third thing about the agent situation, which is I think one of the elements that makes them at least an important part of the process, is that nobody gets paid until the deal closes.
Right.
And so we in our industry are really speculative professionals until such time as the transaction closes, which amounts to an enormous amount of risk. So comment on that a little bit, and how you see how people would enter the business when you talk to them, with the understanding that this is a pure entrepreneurial play for someone entering our business, and because of that, they've got to understand the terms under which we earn our living.
It all boils down to training and support. I speak to many, many people weekly. You watch them. We're in the same building together. And what many people don't realize is, before even selling Hunt Real Estate, I am selling this career. Many people just want to reach out. They're curious about how to start, what's involved, and where to begin. You know, some people, they are ready. They're ready to dive in head first. They've done their homework. They have their reserves in order. And they have a good understanding of what this business is. And, you know, some people, they want to do that one day. They want to be the next great full-time realtor. But right now, they still need to eat and put gas in the car. And that could be our next rookie of the year. We're not going to dismiss the talent that's in that pool of people, okay? But what we do need to make clear, no matter what the scenario is that we expect you to come in, be trained. We are going through some wonderful things in our career development department right now, and we are here to help these individuals achieve the goals that they have when they come to the table. So if you work 9 to 5, you need to be prepared to come in from 6 to 9. You need to be prepared to be held accountable, to go through our training program, to go through our coaching, and then therefore you need to be prepared to reach these goals that you have, which is what you're talking about, being an expert in this field, in pricing, negotiating, and representing these individuals through such an important time of their lives.
Someone listening to this show might think that, well, you know, I've heard about real estate. I'm putting some thoughts in people's head out there. I've heard about real estate, and I've heard all you have to do is go through 75 hours of classroom training and sit there long enough and be able to pass a relatively simple test. And then take a license test, and all of a sudden you're the same as somebody who's been in the legally you're the same as somebody who's been in the business for 25 years and sold $1 billion worth of real estate and dealt with thousands of customers. In terms of that kind of environment, the term you used earlier about the experts, how becoming an expert in this whole thing, and the notion of expertise, which is what anybody has a right to expect of any professional in any field. How do you help someone new to the business deal with that? Because they're now technically on the same legal footing as somebody who's been in the business a long time, and the same will be expected of them from any given buyer or seller, whether they've been in business one day or, you know, 25 years.
When they go through the process, the initial licensing process, again, which is a relatively easy test, and, you know, they go through the motions and they come back, I bring them back to our first conversation. I remind them of the expectations that they told me that they had of us as a company, and of what us as a company expects of them. And we actually have an agreement that's called mutual expectations. I ask them, okay, now that you are licensed, do you know how to go about and get your first deal? And I get, you know, many different answers. You can go about it reactively. You can sit and wait for somebody to call you. But the above average agent, which is what we train you to be, spends an equal amount of time, if not more, doing proactive activities. So my answer to you, Peter, is this: just show up. We have the most successful agents in this area for a reason. It's 107 years of adjusting to change, learning from some mistakes, but really paying attention to what works.
And it's precisely that change that I'd like to delve into in the next segment of the show. Because as you describe this concept of expertise and building on an education and training platform that they can take off from, we've also looked at how the job itself, performing the job of helping someone buy and sell real estate, is broken down. And for the first time in a long time, and it's an evolution going on in the entire industry, there's a recognition of a division of labor, that not everyone's going to be good at every element of the job. And so somebody, a customer coming into the situation, a buying and selling situation, needs to know, for example, what area are you best at? Although they don't even think to ask that question because they just want to sell a house or buy a house. Mm-hmm. Or any piece of real estate for that matter. So when we come back, we're going to talk about this division of labor and then break it down a little bit to see what, in your mind and maybe even some of our listeners' minds, what could be automated and in some way, shape, or form, in the long or short run, deliver the process more efficiently to buyers and sellers. Because I think there's a lot of technology surrounding our industry that's in other industries that is making that process of buying and selling anything much more efficient, mm-hmm. and if this were not the case, organizations like Amazon wouldn't be among the most valuable organizations in the world.
Okay.
If it weren't for their ability to deliver a whole spectrum of products efficiently in a timely fashion, largely through technology. So I want you to think about that. I'd like our listeners to think about that too. And remember, you can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930. We encourage you to participate in today's discussion because I think it's an important discussion about the future of this industry, but not just our industry, all industries, in terms of how automation, how technology, how machine learning, things like that will affect our future. And we'll be back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is the home of the low rate and low closing cost commitment and guarantee, and the pre-purchase commitment. I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. At HuntRealEstate.com, I might add that you can also have access to entire inventory, not just here in Western New York, but also all the way across upstate into Boston, Massachusetts soon, as we link our website to our new company in the Boston area, and also way out to Phoenix, Arizona. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA and is also constantly evolving, and I encourage you to check it out today. On that site, you'll also find a complete inventory of, as I said, homes available, but also a complete set of home ownership services, which allows you to make this whole process of home ownership and acquisition and disposition far easier. For those of you who just like to pick up the phone and ask any question about anything relative to real estate, you can call the only customer service center for real estate anywhere in North America. That's the Hunt Real Estate ERA Customer Service Center, 716-633-9400. One of our customer service reps can instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands, and it exists only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. We will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan. It's as simple as that. It's available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent, and I encourage you to stop into one of our many open houses this weekend and ask about that. I'm in the studio today with Sarah Kleiber. Sarah Kleiber is one of the leading experts in real estate in our marketplace today, and she's also a business development manager at Hunt Real Estate, and her job is to help people find real estate as a career. And it's often, I don't know about you, sir, but I bump into people all the time that say, you know, so-and-so, my husband, my friend, my cousin, told me I'd be really good in real estate. Do you hear that?
All the time.
And what do they say? What's the next thing that comes out? Why would someone say that about anybody?
They're good with people. They watch HGTV. They may have sold a house on their own one day, so suddenly they are an expert in the field, and it's not always easy. It's not always something I enjoy to do, but I have a responsibility to, in some cases, bring them down and present them with the reality that exists. Is it a great career? Yes, it is. I I'm still here after 25 years. It's done wonderful things for my family and myself, but it wasn't easy. And that's one of the reasons I believe I'm good at what I do, is because I can actually speak to the real life experience that I went through and share some of the struggles.
You know, you said it's a great career, but mm-hmm. it's really a bunch of careers.
Yeah.
There's many careers inside the real estate industry. And one of the things that you point out here is the kind of the general impression of the industry from the outside in. Obviously, if you're not oriented towards being sociable, friendly, if you're not outgoing, it's probably going to be difficult for you to be in the sales side of our business. But that doesn't mean the industry itself is not a place where you couldn't find a worthwhile career. This is something that we're just starting to touch on before the break, and that is the division of labor within our industry. As an organization, we have to have people in different levels doing different jobs so that fundamentally the work gets done and the process is as efficient as possible. In recent years, though, the evolution of little versions of that known as teams have developed all over the industry, all through the country, and really all over the world. And really what that recognizes is what Henry Ford recognized a long time ago, that if you create an assembly line where someone has a specific job, you can build something or create something much more efficiently than if you just say, well, here's a screwdriver and some wrenches, and you build a car. Mm-hmm. He said, no, your job is going to do this one thing. You're going to tighten this one nut, or you're going to screw this one screw in, or you're going to put this one piece of sheet metal on and attach it, and the next guy will do the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I think in the process of thinking about that for our industry, which we've done a lot of inside our company, we can start to look at how various elements of that don't need to be done by a human being. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if we don't start thinking about that, somebody will. If you were to look at the process of buying and selling a home, what would be obvious to you, I should say, in terms of things that could be automated? And I'm going to throw a couple of things at you, what could be automated in your mind fairly easily to speed up the process, maybe, or to make it more efficient for a buyer or seller?
Finding what's available.
Okay.
Zillow, Trulia, our own, the many, many websites that are out there, just simply finding what is available.
So the search process, and that's already done.
Mm-hmm.
And that was done. You know, if you look at the timing of a lot of the innovations in our industry and many industries, a lot of them had to do with the recession. Mm-hmm. During a recession in our industry, nationwide, really across the globe, what happened was companies, real estate companies like ours, had to say, you know, we've got to cut our costs. We've got to become more efficient. And so what you started to do was eliminate positions that, whatever, for a reason, just might have been duplicative or not necessarily value-added in the process. But it was a painful, painful, painful time.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, outside of our industry, people are saying, well, gee, that doesn't look like such an efficient industry to us, so how could we make it more efficient? Zillow, for example, one company decided they would create a more universal website. Up until that time, every single real estate company, every single multiple listing service almost, would create their own website and promote their own real estate. Well, that became kind of a generic process where everybody had access to the inventory through a process called IDX. Then third parties said, what if we could glom onto that and then attach one city to another city to another city to another city, so that you could have truly a nationwide portal, so to speak, into which you could look, and by doing that you could find all kinds of real estate. So describe how that evolved in your mind, and then what effect does that have on what you say to someone thinking about a career in real estate?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It has, again, to our very first sentences here, it's made it easy. The buyers can find these properties and know everything about them. Think about social media. The agents that are advertising their new listings and doing a live tour walking through the property, in essence, you can digitally walk through and tour a property, but here's what's happening, especially in today's market. You also mentioned limited inventory. An agent needs to be prepared to not just end their education at the 75-hour course or the new agent hunt training or the most recent coaching session with their branch director or manager. They need to be prepared to adjust with the market. In our career development sessions that we've been having and with our redesign, in our homework that you gave us, yes, Peter gives us homework, our small group had a discussion about what the agents need to know in speaking with people today. It's a much different conversation. These buyers that are finding their homes on Zillow and Trulia are calling the agents after hearing that the fifth one has been sold already. So we have to prepare agents for some not so pleasant conversations.
Let me hold that thought for a second, because now I'm Zillow now.
Yeah.
Do I care if the house is sold? It doesn't matter. My job at Zillow is to attract buyers to my website so I can refer them to real estate agents. I mean,
get the agents to invest.
That's what I mean. The agent invests. Right. So my job is to create as much opportunity for those agents that are investing in my business as possible.
Yes.
So the product is the thing that attracts the customer to the website. And all of a sudden now I don't really, if it's sold, that's one less product I have to attract customers to my website. So I'm not going to be so quick to get it off the website. And just like you're saying, a customer will go there and find out after looking at four or five that all of them are sold or three or four of them are sold. And that's a frustrating experience.
It sure is. It sure is. And that's where we are working with telling these agents, you know, in that situation, may I have an opportunity to have you come in? Come on in, have a cup of coffee. I'd like to explain how I could make this process easier and maybe less expensive. Have you thought about this? Would you like to not make these phone calls anymore? Would you like to get a text message when something new with your criteria and your area of interest comes up? These are the things that these buyers need. And as I said earlier, show up, let us train you, and be that expert that you want to be.
And it'd be important, I think, that our listeners understand if they're interested in this whole process, which so many people are, literally 10 times as many people as buy a house look at houses every day.
Yeah.
I mean, every single day. Some say even more than that. So people are interested no matter what. And one of the things that I'm interested in is the integrity of that data that they're looking at, just like we were talking about, because it is very frustrating to look at something, get all excited, call your agent, and then the agent said, I'm sorry, that was sold 3 weeks ago. So one of the things that we're working on inside the industry is a project called Upstream. And our job there is to a board on which I happen to sit, our job is to create a mechanism through which any real estate company can place their listings and then direct them where they want them to go, to a multiple listing service, to Zillow, wherever they want them to go, or not. And in so doing, it becomes the broker's responsibility to make sure that data is accurate. They can also yank it, which should be done at the appropriate time, as opposed to waiting for a third party to decide when that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Another initiative that's out there is called the Broker Public Portal, which is going to be effectively a broker owned and operated system like Zillow. And now you might say, well, gee, that might be discriminatory against people that might want to sell it on their own, which is not really the case, because that's not going to be the case. But mm-hmm. what is going to be the case is that the brokers then will assume total responsibility for the integrity of that data, as opposed to handing it off to a third party who doesn't care. They have no vested interest. The broker will maintain, quote, ownership of that data and thus be responsible. And I think it's a much more, it's a relationship that has much more integrity with the public than we have right now.
Same.
Sounds safer to me.
So anyway, that's what's going on. And I'm, when we come back from the break, I want you to comment on those kinds of things and other elements of automation that you're seeing out there that are going to take, we've only discussed search, and there's many other elements of the process that where automation is starting to take effect, which makes the process more efficient for the customer as well as the real estate agent. And then the ultimate question, which we're going to end with, is how do you believe that will impact a sense of the value of a real estate agent services, which is something that I think, like all things out there, is going to be in question, if it's not already. And we'll be back with more From Our House to Yours after these important messages.
Hi, this is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. When it comes to the single biggest purchase of your life, it pays to shop around. If you think you've found the best rate available for your home loan, why not let us take a second look? We'll review your rates and your terms and try to see if we can do better. And just for giving us a shot, we'll give you a $50 gift card.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And you just heard from the president of Hunt Mortgage, Linda Malaya, about our offer to you to pay you effectively to review whatever it is that you're considering relative to financing a home. And it's the finest opportunity, the most beneficial opportunity that I know to exist in the real estate finance world. Call them today, 633-3700. I'm in the studio today with Sarah Kleiber. Ms. Kleiber is the business development manager for Hunt Real Estate Corporation, and her job is to attract and to, I guess, help people qualify real estate as a career. And we've been talking about it from various perspectives in terms of the opportunities. We haven't really gotten into great detail about the opportunities within the industry, but there are more than one. Sales is one. But within the sales process, as we've talked about, there is a division of labor, and there's things that have to happen to make a sale take place that require different types of skills and different types of personality types, etc. So if you think you're not the gregarious type, then you haven't been watching HGTV your entire life, and you don't consider yourself a decorator, there still may be a place for you. There still may be a place for you in this industry, and I don't know what that background noise is. Oh, I see they're working on.
I think it's a wee
weather. I see they're cutting down trees outside. I thought it was internal here. So if you hear a chainsaw in the background, that's what it is. So I apologize for that. So bear with us a little bit here this morning. Anyway, so as we were saying, we're looking at the ways in which the industry can be attractive to more than just the kind of the personality type that people might generally associate with our industry. So let's take that one step further. We were talking before about the ways automation can affect the process of buying and selling a home and really then affect the job of a real estate agent. And the first thing you mentioned was the issue of just simply searching for a home and how that's changed, and I went into a little bit of history of that. What else could be automated in your mind in the process?
What else could be automated is finding out your level of comfort, your purchasing power. You can go online to a multitude of sites right now, plug in a little bit of information about yourself, income debt ratio, and get a number. Look at credit scores. Every other commercial is Credit Karma, and find out what your credit. So there's just a lot of information that is at your fingertips, and you may think that you're taking all of the right steps, and yes, you are taking a few of the necessary steps, but at the break, you and I were talking about, diagnosing your own shoulder pain, okay? There's just some things that you want to have that trained expert on your side for.
Ultimately, and I think that's true, but more and more the consumer can do a lot of research, gain a lot of knowledge well in advance of actually contacting a professional in any field. And because of that, the ranks within the many professions are thinning in some respects and ballooning in other respects, which I think is perfectly natural. In other words, look at the field of medicine, for example. There used to be doctors and nurses pretty much, and then somebody kind of staff person in an office somewhere. Now there's all kinds of gradations of medical services, and and for which you pay different levels of fees.
And get different levels of service.
Way different levels of service. The same thing is happening in the legal profession. It has happened over years. And a lot of it depends on what your issue is. If you have a speeding ticket or something, that might require a certain level of legal work as opposed to going through a divorce or a bankruptcy or buying a house for that matter. And accordingly, a lawyer now has to price those things differently and in some cases even make them public through legal plans. For example, even our own Realty Club legal plan that we operated by the attorneys that we work with. But in real estate, we have really one price. And how do you see that changing over time? Do you see a situation where a buyer or seller of real estate could select from a list of services and pay, for example, more or less depending on the amount of service they choose.
I indeed do, especially in the buyer agency. You know, what is stopping the industry of paying a flat fee to go out and show some properties or a per hour? And if that's what you're interested in, somebody just to be a chauffeur and open a door, maybe that is in our future. I hope not, but it might be.
Well, it already is in some parts
you're
of the
right.
country
you're
where,
right.
where
they're,
that kind of service is available, I guess. I just wonder who that person is. But let's leapfrog over that person who might just meet you at a house to show you the house and ask ourselves a question. Could that be done through technology? Right now, there's security systems, for example, that will notify you anytime somebody gets anywhere near your house, your phone starts buzzing. Cameras go on. You can watch what's going on around
the drones.
House. Drones.
The drones, yeah.
So, but there's fixed cameras that are put all over people's houses.
Right.
I mean,
right.
and if somebody goes within a certain radius of that, lights go on, alarms go off, cameras go on. All of a sudden, you're looking at your phone and you're watching somebody wander around your house, which is not a good thing.
Right.
What if that was made constructive? What if that same technology was used to help people gain access to a house, all secure, and then after that they decide whether or not that's the house for them, and then they notify an agent, or they notify an agent in advance. They go to the customer goes to the house, does their own tour, and then maybe there's even a recording, for example, of what the customer's reactions are to the house before they leave the house. I mean, there's various ways. And then there's the issue of artificial intelligence that could be brought into this, or robotics.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's things out there that already exist that are being used in other industries that our industry seems to be a little, perhaps, I don't know if reticent or if we're just looking at the business differently than people are looking at other industries. So I don't know. These things go through your mind. They go through mine a lot. I don't know if I'm way off track or what.
No, they do. I think about when I first began in the career. I didn't have a cell phone my first year.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a laptop my first year. I certainly didn't have social media. I look at, you mentioned evolution in people's learning styles. I stared at a chalkboard all day. I was forced to raise my hand and ask a question. Today, there's online education. So we're talking about our team concept, and somebody that is very, very intelligent and wants to be a part of our industry, but the way that they've learned has forced them to not have those face-to-face opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a live chat when they have a question, but they belong on our team, and they're going to be great. So that's why we have the team concept. So of course I'm thinking about these things, Peter, because 25 years ago, I never imagined that we would be here today.
And we have no idea what 25 years from now will look like
right.
going forward. But I know for one thing.
It's cars that park themselves.
Well, sure. For example, talk about, artificial intelligence.
Right.
And robotics combined
right.
where we might somebody wants to look at a house. All of a sudden a car shows up at their house, picks them up, takes them over to the house, automated showing, drops them off. They can comment digitally or orally to a machine that records their comments or sends them directly to an agent. Agent responds accordingly and acts accordingly.
Oh, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. Well,
I know you're right. You are. You're right.
This has to be. It's not just Uber that's going to be automated.
Mm-hmm.
And think about just the Uber driver as an independent contractor who the company that he works for, Uber, is purposely trying to put him out of business by creating self-driving cars. They're purposely trying to do that. Google's trying to do this. We're not going to be in some kind of vacuum where it's not going to affect us. It's not going to be there.
Let me circle back to the personal relationships, though, because the Uber is the automated, and it's a clear example of technology making our lives easier, mm-hmm. but there still is the opportunity to rate that driver, and the driver can rate you, too.
And what does the Uber driver sell? They sell service, right?
Right.
And that's effectively what we do. And they're looking at ratings and all the mm-hmm. other ways that we can evaluate that level of service. And that's obviously fundamental to our business as well.
Yeah.
But if Uber the organization or Google or whomever, Volkswagen, wasn't thinking about automated vehicles, mm-hmm. then they would be leaving that whole opportunity to somebody else that will say, what you're doing right now is going to be obsolete. And that's the way I think we have to look at our industry. What are we doing right now that in the future will be obsolete? We're on the radio right now. When we used to have double the audience. I don't think there's any less people listening to radio, but there's now 9,000 choices where there weren't when we started this show many years ago. It's the same thing for buyers and sellers of everything. There's more and more choices. And so we somehow, in order to remain relevant, we've got to figure out where our most valuable services lie and how we then infuse them in the marketplace. I don't mean to be...
And be prepared for change.
Be prepared for or create it ourselves.
Right.
And that's really where I'm going with all this. I think we, as an industry, or preferably we as our own company, need to figure out how we're going to address these things that are clearly happening in other parts of the world. So let's kind of wrap this up if we can in the last few minutes here. My first thing I'd like you to comment on is what I'm not trying to do here, and I'm not trying to say that our industry is becoming obsolete. That's far from the case. I just think we have to evolve. And as you talk,
I've never hired more people in the past 2 years, so there couldn't be anything farther from the truth.
So there, the level of interest in an economy where jobs are very. The job market is very tight. It's very hard to find good people to do what anybody wants them to do out there.
Right.
We talked about it yesterday inside our own company, how many positions we would like to hire for right now, and mostly in our ancillary businesses. But it's very, very interesting. So there's demand.
Mm-hmm. There is. People want to be a part of this. They want to have a really great income for a little amount of investment and have the opportunity to feel that reward of helping individuals. They want to be a part of this industry. They want to learn more.
And I'm going to close with, have you to comment on two things. Number one, this just comment on this. I believe the reason why demand for what we do and how we do it is high is because we sell the finest product in the world.
We sure do.
American real estate, there's nothing finer. Mm-hmm. Nothing finer at all. And secondly, this industry uniquely positions people to take advantage of what really motivates people. Real estate for many people provides a sense of purpose, and that can be to make a good living. It also can be to create an investment portfolio of their own. It also invites you to master a craft, which immediately distinguishes you because of how easy it is to get into the business. And thirdly, because of the nature of our business, it provides you with autonomy. Your freedom of movement inside our industry is unique to almost anything in the industrial world, and that's highly entrepreneurial. So comment quickly on that, and then tell listeners how they can reach you.
They can reach me. My email is easy, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, at huntrealestate.com. You can call me at 716-628-4770. And, Peter, you nailed it. This is a great, great industry. You can start with getting your license to help people buy or sell the American dream, and you can be a part of it yourself by being an investor, a manager, and begin to live your own dreams through this. So let's start the process. Let's begin to learn more. In some cases, we may determine that it's not for both of us, but at least let's find out instead of having you wonder.
Sarah Kleiber, Business Development Manager at Real Estate Corporation, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I'd like to thank all our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to Western New York, Western real estate, not just Western New York, but all upstate, is Hunt Country.